Well, welcome to CCF Online. Thank you so much for being here. If you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and we really are grateful that you are here. In fact, I just want you to know the heart of our church, and the heart of our church is that we're for you, and we're for you because God is for you, and we want to really, I'm saying this, and I mean this. We want to be able to come alongside of you and pray for you and help you and with whatever a kind of need that you have. And so here's how you can do that. On whatever platform you're on, take advantage of that connection card. Click on that connection card and then hit on the prayer box. Just let us know how we can pray for you, but also in that same area, just let us know how we can serve you. Or if texting is easier, then just text to 401-496-9710 and text the word, the keyword is prayer, or I'm sorry, pray. Text pray, and then we'll be able to respond to you in that way so that we can come and serve you. Hey, and here's something that everyone can do for us, wherever you're at, whatever platform you're on, or if you would do this, what we want to do is we want to know where you are listening from. So, in the comments section on YouTube, Facebook, on Church Online, wherever you're watching this from, will you just, in the comments section, type in the city or town where you're watching from? Or if it's easier for you to text, pull out your phone, I'm wanting you to do this right now, right? So, take out your phone, 401-496-9710, and the keyword there is city. If you would just use the keyword city and then let us know what town that you're listening from, that would be really cool. We would love to be able to understand where everybody's listening from, and I want you to do that. I know some of you are still sitting on the couch. You're not moving. Pull out your phone. Type it in the comment section. Come on, help us out. We want to know. And if you're listening from another state, will you let us know what state? So include not just the city, but the state that you're listening from. Well, I am excited because we get to kick off this brand new teaching series called Life-Giving Words, the words of Jesus. And hey, listen, we all need life-giving words right now. We all need to hear them, but we also need to be people who give them. I'm sure, like you and like myself, we have experienced words that were crushing, words that were heavy, words that we have carried with us. I mean, words have power. There's something about the power of words. They really can be life-giving, or they can actually destroy. In fact, do you remember this children's rhyme? Sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never harm me. And you know, when this surfaced in the mid-1800s in England, it was meant to help kids who were being bullied verbally by other kids. It was to help them to respond in a way that wouldn't end up in a physical altercation. It was actually meant to kind of calm them down, help them what they would do is they would say this over and over again, and basically, you know, words aren't any big deal and be able to walk away from some kind of fight. And at one level, we can see how that might be helpful. But at another level, we totally understand, because you have sat on the other side of somebody else, and the way that they used their words were much more hurtful than sticks and stones. Because somebody has said something to you in your past. Maybe you were young, or maybe it was somewhere in your adulthood life, but it was years ago. And you continue to carry those words with you, because words have power. And the same thing is true where somebody, maybe as a young child or in your adulthood life, somebody has used words that have been not just encouraging, but literally life-changing. They saw something in you and they spoke into that, and that brought out of you. It was refreshing. It brought out new life in you. Well, that's why that's why this series is about life-giving words, because we all need to be able to receive life-giving words, but also to give life-giving words. I want us to notice what Solomon says in Proverbs 22:7. Now, Solomon, you know, he's one of the wisest guys out there. And by wise guys, I don't mean he grew up in Federal Hill, okay? So not that kind. Like, he was an intellectual. And here's what he says. He says, listen to the words of the wise. But not just about listening. Notice this. He says, apply your heart to my instruction. You see, that's what we want to do in this series. We want to listen to the words of Jesus, but not just listen to them. We want to apply them to our life so that our life is actually different as a result of the way that Jesus' words have impacted us. Look at something else that Solomon said about words in Proverbs 18. In verse number 4, he says, wise words are like deep waters. Wisdom flows from the wise like a bubbling brook. Have you ever been out on a hike and your water bottle was empty, but then you came across one of those natural springs and they had a pump there for you so you could fill that water bottle? I mean, like, that was like so refreshing. I mean, you think about that. Go back to that time in your mind and you were pumping out that pure water and how it tasted. It was like the best ever. Solomon says that's how our words can be, that your words can actually be life-giving. And that's why we're looking at the words of Jesus. In fact, here, Jesus said this about his very words. Notice what Jesus says about his words in John 4 and verse number 14. But those who drink of the water that I give will never be thirsty again. Or those who will drink of the words that I give, or those who will apply the words that I give, will never be thirsty again. It becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life. You see, Jesus has the gift of eternal life that he wants to give to you and that he wants to give to all of those who will not just listen, but apply those words. Jesus' words, the words of Jesus. Today, we want to zero in on this one word, this idea of invite, or Jesus' words of inviting. And that's what we're going to see in our text today. And here's our bottom line that we're looking at today. Our bottom line is that an inviting life is a fulfilled life. And we know this. Remember last week. Last week we talked about Jesus was on that cross. And at noon until 3, darkness came over the earth. And as darkness came over that earth, Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me? And when Jesus cried that out, it was at that moment he felt the punishment of my sin. He felt the punishment of your sin. He had the entire punishment of the world's sin upon him, all past, all present, and all future sin was upon him. He was being punished for that sin. There was a separation between him and God at that moment. But then, shortly after that, just moments after crying that out, he said, "It is finished." And then he released his spirit. Do you know why he said it is finished? Because he had fulfilled his life. He had fulfilled his purpose. Don't you want to live a life that's fulfilling? Don't you want to live a life that is purpose-filled? Well, Jesus would call us into living an inviting kind of life. And this is what we're going to see in our text. We're going to start in Matthew chapter 4. So take your Bibles wherever you are. Open up your Bible. It's Matthew chapter 4. We're going to jump down to verse number 18. Now, as we read this, remember that Bible scholars call this the time of Jesus' public ministry. This is just after his baptism, his public baptism, and now a short time period has went by. And now what Jesus is doing is he's out doing his public ministry, if you will. And here's what you need to know. He's around 30 years old. And think of this, that he is known to be a carpenter, to learn the trade of carpentry. Now, there's some debate on whether that carpentry was around lumber or stone, but whatever it was, what you need to know and what you need to picture in your mind is that Jesus had calluses on his hand because he knew how to swing a hammer. Whether that was into lumber or whether that was into stone, and he was a solid guy. He knew how to carry the lumber or he knew how to carry a stone. And so he was a stocky guy. He was a strong guy. He could carry his own. I mean, we might describe him as a man's man. So think about that as we read this. It says, one day as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, also called Peter, so Simon Peter, and Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. We get our first clue to how to live an inviting life from this, that notice how Jesus sees other people. Jesus saw, as Jesus was just doing life, as he was living life on mission, as he was living a fulfilled life, as he was just going along, he noticed those around him. If you're a part of the CCF family, part of our community, you know that we have been talking about this. We've encouraged you for a few years now to be praying for one. This is why we do that. We ask you, we challenge you, pray for one person every day. Why? So that you would have eyes like Jesus to see those around you. And we say, pray for one that God would show you who he wants you to demonstrate his love to today. And we encourage you, or I ask you, are you praying for one? Are you asking God to give you eyes to see the people around you? That person that you need to demonstrate God's love to. Well, that's part of living an inviting life, is that God would give you eyes to see people around you. Now, notice this. Jesus uses his words. His words are inviting. Jesus called out to them, and he says, come, follow me. So Jesus is using inviting words. Is that how you use your words? Or do you use your words in a negative way? Do you use your words to point finger? Or do you use your words to invite people? Here, Jesus is using words to invite people. And then notice this, come and follow me and I will show you how to fish for people. So here's our third thing that we realize about an inviting life, is that we use our words to be inviting, but we take interest in other people. We pick up on their interest and we speak their language. That's what Jesus did. Notice how he said, hey, come and fish for people. Now, I want you to think about who he's talking to. He's talking to professional fishermen. He's talking to Peter and Andrew. They have their business. These are professional fishermen. And he's saying, hey, come and fish. He's using words that are connecting to them, and he invites them, but then he puts this twist to it, for people. Now, you got to imagine what's going through Peter and Andrew's mind. People. Now, I know all how to do fishing. I'm a professional fisherman, but fish for people? That's intriguing. So maybe those inviting words caused them to go and follow. And it says they left their nets, and at once, they followed him. Now, I think it's important to understand that when we read this, Matthew's given us more of a summary shot of what's going on here. This was not Peter and Andrew's first time of ever crossing paths with Jesus. In fact, the Apostle John in John chapter 1 gives us some insight into that, and that maybe it was at Jesus' baptism, but Andrew had already been aware of who Jesus was, actually saw Jesus, and he runs home, he gets Peter, and he says to him, hey, come and see. I want you to notice what he says there. Andrew in John chapter 1 says, come and see. He doesn't say, come and hey, and believe everything. Just come and see. Come and check this out. Come. And he invited Peter to come. And at some other point, we see that Jesus crosses paths with Peter and Andrew. And so Jesus had already been doing things. He was already teaching. So Peter and Andrew were already aware of who Jesus is and who he was saying he is, enough to where they would drop everything and go and follow him. Now watch what happens. Matthew tells us, hey, a little further up the shore, Jesus saw two other brothers, James and John sitting in a boat with their father Zebedee repairing their nets, and he called to them to come too. So there again we see Jesus continuing on with other people who were following him, still had his eyes open, still was looking. Are you, I go back to that question, are you still praying for that one person on a daily basis? And then he called them, and I want to point this out too, that James and John, this wasn't the first time that James and John had ever heard Jesus or heard about him or heard about his teachings and his who he was proclaiming to be. But here they left and they followed him. Now, here's what I want us to do. I want us to fast forward to Matthew chapter 9. So that's going to take a second. Go to Matthew chapter 9, get there. Because now what Matthew does is he tells in summary his own experience of coming to follow Jesus. So this is Matthew writing about himself. And he says, as Jesus was walking along, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at his tax collector's booth. So here Matthew describes it. Here Matthew's saying, here I am doing my job. Now, just for a moment, don't forget tax collectors, right? In this time and point in history, the Jewish people disdained tax collectors. They looked down upon them. They looked at them as traitors because they were looked upon as turning their backs upon their own Jewish people to help the Roman government. And so here's Matthew, used to having people snub him, treat him with hostility, and probably rightly so, because, you know, tax collectors were in the habit of ripping people off. Whether or not Matthew lived his life that way, we don't know. Matthew doesn't allude to that, but we do know that he was a tax collector and that he was used to being snubbed by those around him. And here, as he's sitting there, and think of this. We know that there were sinners. At this time, there were categories for people. And they had sinners, and then they had tax collectors. So sinners, you know, and then tax collectors were underneath them. But yet Jesus took the time to reach out to this white-collar professional, right? So you see him reach out to blue-collar professional people. Now he's reaching out to these white-collar professional, this accountant, this CPA, maybe has some people working for him. And he reaches out to them, and also you see him cross a cultural barrier where the Jewish, because Jesus is Jewish, he's this Jewish rabbi, and he crosses this barrier where the other Jewish people that are filled with piety, they wouldn't cross that. They would look down upon that. Jesus sees people outside of their box. Jesus sees people outside of their stereotypical personality that people put up on others. Do you see what Jesus is doing here? He's living a life that's inviting, where he doesn't look down upon others, but he invites others into his life. Do you do that? Do you live your life as an inviting life, no matter if it's with somebody who you completely disagree with and the way that they live their life? Do you still live an inviting life to those kind of people? Jesus does, and he's calling us to live our life like he did. Well, Jesus says to Matthew, follow me and be my disciple. And so Matthew got up and followed him. Now, in verse 10, notice what Matthew says, later. Now, we don't know how much later. We don't know if this is weeks. We don't know if this is months. But at some point later, notice what Matthew has already caught about Jesus, the way that Jesus is living his life. Matthew invited Jesus and the disciples. Do you see that? That Matthew has already caught this from his rabbi, his Jewish teacher. He's already caught that I am supposed to live this inviting life, but not just with other Christ followers, not with just other people who believe just like me. Nope. Look who else he invites. He invites the other tax collectors and other disreputable sinners. So he has sinners, he has tax collectors, and he has Jesus and the disciples there at his house. They're having this dinner party. They're having a great time. You know why Matthew wanted to invite his circle of influence, if you will? Why he wanted to invite these other tax collectors, these other, quote, disreputable sinners? Because he wanted their life to be changed like his. Because Jesus was living an inviting life. And again, I'm asking you, do you live an inviting life? Boy, Jesus is calling us to live our life like that. Now, look what happens. In verse number 11, it says, "But when the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, 'Why does your teacher eat with such scum?'" This was an indictment. This wasn't a question. This was an indictment. This was a judgment made by the Pharisees. Now, the Pharisees were the religious people of their day. The Pharisees did everything they could to follow the law. The Pharisees had so much Old Testament memorized. They could just quote scripture. They lived their life by these strict rules. They would sacrifice their life in so many, they would sacrifice their ways in so many different ways. Now notice what Jesus says next. In verse 12 it says, "And when Jesus heard this," when he heard this indictment, when Jesus heard this, he said, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do." Did you catch that? I wonder how many people that you have known who had thought they were fine, and they had went many months, but then all of a sudden, they started having some symptoms. And then they called the doctor, and they found out that they had something seriously wrong with them. They had some kind of disease. There was something going wrong inside of them. They lived many months, didn't even know it, but they were sick. Do you know what Jesus is saying? Jesus is saying, hey, listen, we all are sick. We all need Jesus. We all have this sickness called our sin. And so we all need a doctor like Jesus to come in and bring that healing. But notice what Jesus says next to them. He says this. He says, "And then he added, 'Now go and learn the meaning of this scripture.'" You know, this is like one of those zingers. Like Jesus is like throwing this little thing at the Pharisees, these religious people, these people who had the Old Testament memorized. He says, "You need to learn the scriptures." And then he quotes Hosea 6:6. He says, "I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices." Now think about that. I want you to show mercy, not offer sacrifices. You see, the Pharisees were so caught up on the outside that they had forgot about the heart of the matter. And at the heart of the matter is mercy, God's mercy and God's love. And from God's love and from God's mercy, then that's what changes us on the outside. It starts on the inside and goes to the outside. I don't know how many of you can remember if you had young kids, right? And how they would see a flower. And they'd want to go take that flower, and they love it. They think it's beautiful, right? And they want to cut it off at its stem. And they go home, you know, they'll bring it home, and they'll say, "Mom, I got you a flower, but I want to plant it for you because I want more flowers to grow." And you know what we've done as parents? We'll take that flower, we'll cherish it, we'll even put it in the dirt for them, and we'll plant it. But we all know what's going to happen in the day or two, that flower is going to die. Why? That flower didn't get its beauty from the outside. This flower gets its beauty from the inside, from being planted in this soil. It gets its beauty from its roots, and it sucks all that up, and all that beauty comes through that, and it produces a beautiful flower. It doesn't work the other way around. In fact, when we focus on the outside of flowers and just the outside, we call those artificial flowers or fake flowers. Here, these Pharisees are so focused on the outside, they've become fake because they've forgotten about the heart of the issue, that it's an inside thing, not about keeping a bunch of rules. I wonder about you. Are you allowing God to change you from the inside out? Have you fallen into the same trap that the Pharisees have fallen into? So worried about the outside. Well, look what he says. Jesus says this. He says, I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know that they are sinners. You see, we have to get to the place to realize it's not about the outside, but it's about the inside. And from the inside, it produces the beauty of Christ on the outside. Do you know that? Do you understand that? Have you gotten to that place? Which would lead me to my very first next step, because maybe this is the next step that you need to take. It says, I would like to know more about the invitation to follow Jesus. Is that where you are today? Do you need to understand more about trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior? That He's the one who wants to come inside and bring healing from the inside out so that you can live a fulfilled life. If that is where you find yourself, will you take advantage again? Click on that connection card. Let us know, whatever platform you're watching on, click on that connection card and on that first next step. We would love to follow up with you. Or if it's easier for you to text, then it's the same number. It's at 401-496-9710 and use the keyword trust. If you'll use that keyword trust, then that will allow you to allow us to connect with you, and we would love to have this conversation with you so that you could start your steps towards a fulfilled life. Now, the other next step is for every Christ follower, for every person who has placed their faith and their trust in Jesus. Notice what it says. It says, I desire to live an inviting life filled with purpose like Jesus. Maybe some of you are like the Pharisees. You know, you've gotten sidetracked. You've all of a sudden thought it's about the outward appearance. You've forgotten that it's about the inside. And you've let the inside slip. Maybe you need to get back on track. And maybe you need to live your life more in alignment to like Jesus lived his life, this inviting life. He lived with this attitude, with this posture of inviting others. Others felt welcome around him. Even if they didn't even believe in him, they felt welcomed around him. Do others who don't believe feel welcomed around you? Do you use your words as inviting words? Like Andrew would say, come and just see. Do you use your words like that? I want to pray for us this morning. But before I do, I want to remind you of this. That an inviting life is a fulfilled life. And today, you could start on the path to living a fulfilled life if you would live this life that's inviting, just like Jesus. I want to pray for us. No matter where you are, will you join me in this prayer? Father, I pray right now. I pray for that person who's listening, who has never put their trust in you. Jesus, will you help them to understand what that means? Jesus, will you draw them to you? Give them eyes and ears to hear. And Jesus, may they call out upon you as Savior today and start their path to living a fulfilled life. And Jesus, I'm praying for every Christ follower who's listening. Jesus, for every Christ follower who maybe has gotten sidetracked, for every Christ follower who is starting to worry about the way the outside looks more than what is going on the inside of them. And God, I'm praying that I will live a more inviting life. And Jesus, I'm praying that you will help every Christ follower to live an inviting life so that more people can live a fulfilled life. Will you do that in and through us like never before? And we pray this in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.